About the angels singing,
out that you've given us. And for the blood, for the love that you had for us in sending your only son into this world to down that cruel prophet Calvin, that we might have the hope of being with him someday. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you also, Lord, for the blessings that you've given our sick here, of Kathy and Jason and so many more of us. We thank you that you thank of them and that you have given them back some of their health that they've lost. We pray that you will bless them and keep them safe throughout their lives, and that all who need your blessings will get your blessings. For we know that you are a glorious God. We ask your blessings on this congregation, that you would make us to grow this year, that we would be having more faith in you, and that we would grow in number and in spirit. We pray that you would bless us all and keep us safe now on the way to the Lord, that we may have a good year and a blessed year too. We pray for the leaders of this nation and this world, that you would give them the wisdom that they need and that they most desire to keep peace in this world. Now we ask you to go with us and be with us throughout this day and throughout our lives and make us to have a great year. In Christ's name and pray. Amen.
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 Be seated. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 283. 283.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all of healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
Say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine
until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this bread which represents.
We have 27 present this morning. Today is January 5th, 2020, for safety purposes. At this time, if you would, let's mark our song books at number 718. 718 will be the song of invitation after Brother Robert's lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 286. 286. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding.
There are certain things that we must have always around us if we're to be authorized to be the church of the living God. There are specific commands that God has given in His Word, and there are general principles that are to be followed by His Word. And without our going on to that particular credit, to do that and honor that which is specified for us to practice, we really have no right to exist. we are actually contributing to the religious division in the religious world at large. If we do not know whereof we speak in regard to the way that we teach and the way that we live, by God's word to be directed that way. Take into consideration the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice that the specific one who created this is God Himself. Described in John chapter 1 as the Son of God. As He was in the beginning, created all things. And by Him were all things created that were created. And in Hebrews chapter 1, the whole description of it is of Jesus Himself and how that He, in the beginning with the Father, had these things to be set out. The Spirit of God is the very first one specified of the Godhead in Genesis 1 and verse 2 and 3. Where it is said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When we have the Holy Spirit identified in that passage of Scripture and then explanation given regarding the place of the Spirit of God in our daily walk of life in the Christian dispensation by Jesus in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, in which Jesus would say, I must go to the Father, for if I go not to the Father, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, the Comforter will come unto you. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And in this regard, the Spirit of God was to come, be that Comforter, that guide to those apostles of the Lord. As they were guided to teach the word of the Lord, they were guided also to write down the word of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reference is made to this word, which was written down that we might be knowledgeable of God's will to be practiced in our daily walk of life. This Jesus is our Savior. In Acts chapter 4 and at verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our salvation is through His name, by His authority. And as a result of that, we bow before Him. And in this particular regard, specifically, Jesus said there in Matthew 26, 26 through 29, that we would remember Him as we partake of this bread which represents His body, and this fruit of the vine which represents His blood that was shed for many for the remission of our sins. We're taught in that regard to practice that way of remembrance of the body and the blood of Christ. Since He is the only Savior, the only name under heaven given among men, in Acts 4, verse 12, we honor Him and honor His way. We may have for many years of time not realized, perhaps by failing to read the Bible itself or failing to really understand what we have read there in the Scripture itself and not appreciate the place of the Son of God in creation and in the offering of salvation for mankind. Even including the book of Revelation. For in the book of Revelation it begins with a statement made, blessed is he that readeth the words of the prophecy of this book. He goes on to tell us in the closing chapter of the book of Revelation that these words would be words that we will be used to judge us in the last day. We're to be people who follow that word of the Lord. And in the specific things that are said, we are to practice them. In the process of specific things, there will be generic things always there. Always has been there. In Genesis chapter 6, in reference to Noah and his time of building that ark out of gopher wood, very specific type of wood that he would have known about in that time. The tools to be used to build that ark are not named. If someone were to say, I knew that he used a hammer, you could not say that by pointing to a scripture and saying this was the way that it was done, any more than you could say that he used a crosscut saw to fashion that ark in the size that the Lord God of heaven told him to build it. But the fact that he told him to build it out of gopher wood, specific type of wood that he would have known well, and then he would go on about the practice of doing that in the generic principles of being able to have it sized in the proper way. We do not know the type of tools that he used. When we come to the New Testament of the Bible in reference to the Lord's Supper, to eat of the loaf and the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, in what kind of vessels were they to be contained? We do not have that stated. When Jesus said to remember my body in this loaf and remember my blood in this fruit of the vine, he did not say whether it had to be in bamboo, in pottery, in something that would be of metal, brass, or silver, or gold. Or whether in more recent times it would be by way of plastic. We do not have that generic principle, but we have the principle of it containing the bread and the fruit of the vine. Other foods were misused by the brethren at Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reference is made to their eating and drinking condemnation to their souls as they ate of whatever it was they did and drank of whatever they did not remember the Lord's body and blood. In the process of doing that, they were also told to tarry on one another. They were to eat and drink that together. Apparently, they were there at the congregation in Corinth deciding to get there early, get there soon, get there quickly, and partake of this and drink of this and get gone. They were told not to do that, to tarry on one another. Read it for yourself in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in reference to their whole worship service of the church, they were to be people who specifically spoke in words that were easily understood. The unknown tongue was something that came about many, many years later. And the idea of religious teachers that would say that this is the way to serve God. However, in the verses that we read there in 1 Corinthians 11 and 14, verse 15 particularly, we read where they were to speak in words that were easily understood. Paul saying he'd rather speak five words easily understood than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. He says there will be people who will come to your services and they'll be there. They're from the room of the unlearned, he says. They're listening to the teaching being done. If they do not understand the words being spoken to them, they may understand the gyrations and the loudness of it and the seriousness of it to be implemented. But they don't understand what was being said. They do not understand the prayers being offered. They do not understand the sermon being proclaimed. And they will leave that service saying that you are insane. You're mad. King James says, you simply do not know the right things to say and do because they didn't understand the words that were being uttered. Thus, the specific way in which we're to go about the worship of the Lord is identified there to be in spirit and in truth. As Jesus said in John 4 and at 24, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When you and I get to the ideas of the songs and we just call the words, we get to the idea of the songs and we just enjoy the harmony that is created, there will be a natural harmony to singing as we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord, Ephesians 5 and 19. But when the early brethren recognized that this was not being practiced by the early church in using instrumental music along with that worship, they found themselves honoring what the Lord had said and worshiping him in spirit and in truth, being people who spoke to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, not upon a harp, but in your heart to the Lord. Much as Jesus had said regarding forgiving others who trespass against us in Matthew 18, in the last verse of that chapter, when he says we must forgive those who sin against us or trespass against us or offend us, and from the heart forgive them. For if we do not from the heart forgive them, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. We're to be people who really seriously, from the heart, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, forgive others of their offenses to us. We're to be people who are serious about what we're doing. That's the specific nature of the Scripture. And when we find ourselves not doing that, and we're reading God's Word where we're to be people like that, then we must change our rules of life. And as it does change in our lives, the Lord understands and he promises to forgive us. For he says there in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now in this passage of 1 John 1 verse 9, he had just said in verses 3 and 4 and 5, these people to whom he's writing are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. If they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, they have the right, they have the privilege to confess their sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Not only the forgiveness of sins is done, but the unrighteous thinking and planning that is done for sins to be committed, that can be done away. We can have the strength to resist that unrighteous course of life that led us to sin against God, of which we needed to have forgiveness. But not only does he promise us being faithful and just to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The specific nature of God's word and the general principles are used again and again and again. When brethren were written at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning verse 1, the Apostle Paul will address the specific nature of the contribution. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, an inspired apostle gave order to the churches in Galatia, a different region, a different area than Achaia, where Corinth was located. He's now writing to Corinth. As I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The particular needs of the church to that benevolent need that was ongoing was to be specifically done on the first day of the week, And it was to be done as one recognized his prosperity. It may be that we grow in that recognition. And from a time that we do that, we find ourselves growing in our giving, the amount of our giving. But it's to be done in sincerity and with the love in our heart for the gift that we're giving. I remember the story told to me of a good man who in his young years of life thought that $2 contribution was a fair and good thing to be done. And he did that religiously. He was called upon to serve communion, and in the serving of the communion there was also in that congregation a fitting time, as is a congregational meeting time here, to serve the opportunity for people to give into a common treasury of the church at the close of that particular time. So he was there, and he noted that as he passed by a certain family that he deemed to be more in need than they were blessed, that they gave an amount that shocked him to his core. He said he didn't remember getting to the back, passing the plate and getting it and passing it back to the next row and so forth so on, for thinking about how the amount was that those people gave that was so much. And all week long at his workplace, he thought about what explained that. He said, I said to myself, it must be that they gave for the whole month. That's what they did. They gave for the whole month on that Sunday. They gave for all four Sundays of the month. And that amounted to that amount. But he had to check out his theory. So the next week, he was quick to recommend that he was willing to step in and to be one of the alternates when someone didn't show up for the service of the Lord's Supper and the contribution time. So he would be there and he would be on the outside and he would go by that same family once again and pass that plate for a contribution. They really blew his mind this time. They gave the same amount this week that they did last week. He couldn't believe that that was the case. He just could not believe it. It was on his mind enough that he went to visit those people the following week. He said, I couldn't help but notice, he said, I really didn't intend to let it bother me like this, but it has bothered me like this. How could you give what you have given over the last two Sundays? They explained to him that they gave that amount every Sunday. How do you do this, he said. And they explained to him something that changed the rest of his life. They said, we feel like we have been prospered in such a wonderful measure by God that this is the contribution amount that we've chosen to do. He said, I hope you're not offended by my asking you this question. And they assured him that he was not offensive at all, that he was sincere, and they would tell him the following. They wished they could give even more for what God had done for them. It changed, as I said, the rest of his life. He reassessed his $2 contribution. He was able to give considerably more than that and did give more than that the rest of his life. How much did the Lord say to give? Do you read it there in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2? You do not read an amount. As you have been prospered, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God has prospered him. That there be no gatherings. There are no gatherings when I come. And so it was done. In our practice of life, in looking at the blessings of God that come to us as we go along through life, there's an opportunity for us to give. Someone may say, well, I give based on the board. I give based upon the amount given last week, and if it's not the amount that I think it ought to be, then I give a little bit more in that way. Is that what we read there in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2? It is not what we read there. It's not based upon what I did last week. It's based on as you have been prospered. That's the idea of the specific nature of the contribution. Now here's the generic thing. Into what is that contribution to be placed? A glass jug? It would do. A bamboo plate? It would do. A metal plate, a brass plate, it would do. The opportunity that we have to give is not based upon in what we place that. It is based upon our assessment of ourselves and how we've been blessed as we contribute. Let's think about that in that regard. And we are blessed to be able to do that. And like that good family many years ago, only wish that we would give more. Thank you for your study with us today. We appreciate so much your being with us. This is a study throughout this month of time as we go forth in various other topics of which God has specified His Word and the generic principles by which He wanted people to follow those principles that He had given, that commandments. Be a good study for us and benefit for us as we do that. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, the specific thing that Jesus said regarding salvation from sin was found there in Peter's words of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent ye, turn away from sin, and be baptized, be immersed into Christ, every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You can do that today. All things are ready for you to do that. And if you would, as we stand to sing these words of encouragement, would you come to Jesus as we stand to sing?
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, his trust within demanding.
Service at 6 o'clock tonight and our first Sunday of the new year. We're back on the way. Wednesday night on the 8th. That'll be Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Come and be with us if you can.
Let's turn to number 623.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, we pray to your forbid. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in
well. Yeah,
she is.
You helped her a lot.